The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever."
Amen. You may be seated.
So the old question that we always have to wrestle with is, what do you buy the person who has it all? Like, they are extremely difficult to shop for around Christmas, aren't they? They can have anything. They can buy anything. What on earth do you provide? What do you give to that person? And it's that image that really helps us get at the heart of something extremely significant in the Christmas story. You see, the Christmas story is good news for those who have an understanding and experience of their own personal need. If we don't need anything, then the Christmas story really just falls on deaf ears. It just becomes some kind of quaint, sentimental story of yesteryear. But if we recognize the deep-seated need that all of us have, then the Christmas story takes on new life. It has a significance for us that moves beyond a quaint sentimentalism to a deeply profound truth that we can rest our lives on. The Christmas story is good news for those who have need. That's what we want to understand from Mary's song. Mary was someone who was the first person to understand her need in light of who Christ is. She comes to terms with her own need as she speaks these words. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." She recognizes her need. Only those who have need recognize that they have a need for a Savior. If we don't have need, then there's no Savior required. But deep within, Mary understands, in light of all that God's doing, she recognizes her deep need for a Savior, and it's in recognition of who God is, the one who has acted in this Christmas story, that brings about a deep change within her. My soul magnifies, my spirit. She's using language to signify a deep internal change of heart and disposition. And all of this is because of who God is. She goes on to say, "For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." Mary is not affected by some sentimental story. She is deeply affected by the God who is, the God who is mighty. Mary, like many of us, had this moment in verse 34 where she's thinking upon all that angel Gabriel is telling her God is going to do, the virgin birth, nonetheless. And she absolutely thinks this is impossible. And many of us have had those same kinds of questions. And yet now Mary recognizes the God who is mighty. And if this mighty God created everything we see and everything we don't see, then a virgin birth is not much of difficulty to him. And so God is mighty, and she goes on, God is holy. It's because God is holy that he has to come and do something about our sin and our guilt. We are estranged from him, separated from him, because we have chosen, all of us, to go our own way. And yet God, recognizing our need, steps into our reality because he is holy. The incarnation reminds us the great lengths to which God has gone to deal with our sin and our guilt. And yet, if it ended there, we could be in terrifying trouble. If God is mighty and God is holy, but God is not merciful, it's a terrifying reality to recognize our deep need, our separation from God. And yet it doesn't end there. God is merciful. He sees our plight. He enters into our reality and he does something about it on our behalf. This is the great mystery of the incarnation. God become flesh, dwelt among us. As we think about that baby Jesus, we are reminded that that is God in the flesh. The one who came in humble estate to meet all of those who recognize their own humble estate. And the Christmas story then is a story of the work of God in history. This isn't just some tale, some kind of moral axiom. It's rather God who is at work in tremendous ways to bring about salvation for all those who recognize their need. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. The rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. We live in a culture that's fine with a personal and private faith. And yet what Mary is reminding us is that God has acted in history. Yes, what God has done in history had a deep impact on her personally, but it doesn't end there. She has been impacted. Those who have come to faith in Jesus have been impacted by deep change personally because God has acted in our world cosmically. And so we don't have a private, sentimental faith. But rather, we have a Christmas story that's rooted in history. And so because of what God has done out there, it means tremendous change for me personally in here. And so God has been powerfully at work in and through the incarnation of Jesus. God become flesh and dwelt among us. And this then is the wonder of Christmas. You see, like Mary, the truths of the Christmas story have to penetrate deeply within our hearts. We can't merely look on this story with sentimental eyes. We can't look on this story as some mere, quaint, religious kind of exhibition. But rather, we have to come to terms with a God who has acted in history. The reality of the Christmas story, of God become flesh and dwelling among us. And so like Mary, we need to see the wonder of the Christmas story. God has acted out there, but he has done so for me. He has done so for you. And so there needs to be a sense of our own need before God. And all those who feel that need before God are welcome to find rescue in Jesus. That's the good news of the Christmas story. In Christ, God supplies for our deepest need. This isn't something that the proud are able to admit. That's what Mary's words remind us of. Those without recognition of their need don't ask God to meet those needs. There are none to be met. And yet for all those who have a sense of our own disadvantaged state before God, he meets us right where we're at in Christ. Over the last number of weeks, I couldn't help but be reminded of how often Christian stories, those who have given their lives over to Jesus, have been marked profoundly by deep hurt and wounds and pain and suffering. Great sense of need. And wouldn't it make sense that those would be just the kinds of people who recognize their need for God in Christ? And for all those who seek him, they'll find him, we're told. And so the invitation this evening is to give our lives over to King Jesus. I mean, again, God has acted in history, and it is an incredible thing to realize that baby in the manger is the King of the universe in the flesh. What God inaugurated at the first coming of his Son was the ultimate rescue and redemption of all those who would trust in Christ. And so this evening, we're invited to recognize, to acknowledge our need before him. And when we do, to know, just like Mary, he meets us right in that moment of need. For those of us who have given our lives over to Jesus, this is an opportunity for us to reflect on the deep, profound significance of the incarnation. God, the one who made everything we see and everything we don't see, came and dwelt among us. And he did that for you and for me, that we could come back into his family, that we could know him, that we could live with him, that we could have brothers and sisters in the family of God. And so as we continue to sing these songs of praise, as we continue to think upon the great realities of the Christmas story, might this be an opportunity for us to reflect on all that God has done for us in and through Christ. Christmas is good news for those who know they have need. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this Christmas story that is so much more than a mere story, a mere tale that we tell to raise sentimental, heartwarming thoughts and affections. But rather, it is a story that reminds us of the reality of what you have done in and through Christ. That you have entered into our reality. You dwelt among us. You lived the life that we were supposed to live but can't because of sin. You died a death in our place, taking upon the weight of our sin and our guilt and our shame that we could be freed. Come into your family and experience your love and fellowship. And so, Lord, as we sing these songs, might the words that we're speaking reflect the disposition of our heart. Might we come to worship you in this moment, experiencing in a fresh way your mercy and grace and kindness. And it's in Christ's name that we pray these things. Amen.